Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 649. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. How are you doing, good sir?
I'm doing fine. Long time, no talk. And I'm always here for the special shows. It's either because of a Roman Reigns promo or something sucky happens. And it's the latter this time because we are talking WrestleMania and this car is trash.
Yeah, I mean, that really shows you the desperation of some people to see a live event. I am not one of those people. I've had a chance to buy tickets to the Blue Jackets games. I have kindly said, no thank you, that is indoors. I'm okay.
I went to the movies yesterday. It feels like people are actually going back to the movies. Like the parking lot was actually packed. They're still doing social distancing. It felt fine. It was like 2 hours. I'm fully vaccinated, but a lot of people still aren't. So some things, like restaurant, no. Like any place that I can't keep my mask on an extended period of time, I'd be hesitant to do. WrestleMania, I would definitely not do under these pandemic circumstances. And on one hand, people decided, oh, instead of having a zillion matches on one night, you know, split up on two nights. You can enjoy yourself. You can, you know, some people might just afford one ticket, afford both tickets. A better, you know, I'd rather go to 2 3 to 4 hour shows than 1 8 hour show. But
agreed.
The flip side of that is you have to have matches for two nights. And I knew the WrestleMania crowd was disappointing, but looking at the card, I'm like, this card stinks. Like it sucks. And you think about the people that are missing, like I'm looking at this match. No Charlotte Flair. No Bayley. No Undertaker, which is fine. He enjoys retirement. No John Cena. He's busy doing movies. No Goldberg. You know, all those people complain about, you know, no legends and, you know, legends taking those spots and stuff like that. And it's like, all right, you don't have that. So you basically have the people you normally have with, you know, Shane McMahon and Bad Bunny notwithstanding. And
where
can you begin? Like this?
I guess I have a question to start with then. And maybe you have a different point of view. The main event there, night one, Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. I believe they made that official last night that was going to be the main event.
I know they talked about it early in the week that they said it was. And it probably was official on TV.
And
I would say out of that match makes sense to be the last match of one of the nights. If you're going to do a night one, it's fine. Because it's a match that people want to see. Ever since Bianca Belair kind of got on SmackDown, it was kind of like, push her the right way and make that match, because you know they're going to have a great match. Representation matters. It's like, it's a main event WrestleMania match with two black women.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's, like, you're kind of talking about the yuck factor. I have not been a big fan of their build-up until the last 2 weeks they finally started to move in the right direction. So I honestly wouldn't have been surprised if Lashley and McIntyre had headlined night one.
Yeah, but their build up was worse. Like the issue with that's been an issue. Even the good matches that people want to care about have had horrible build up.
Yes,
and like not too much of that. Like, why are they arguing over wrestling? Like, okay, wrestling was supposed to be a joke. Why is he dominating the women's division? Why am I seeing him on Raw? And why are all these people fighting over this little short little Caribbean man with Jerry Rice's hairline? He starts off being the man serving for Carmella, which already looks bad optically anyway. whatever, that's fine. He gets involved in that. Then he's getting involved with Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair fighting over his services because, like, Sasha's there and then Bianca want to have him. Then he gets involved with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler on Raw. Like, I think he's cute. And it's like, what are we doing? You have Bianca Belair as a badass. You have Sasha Banks as a badass. Let them be badasses and just have a match. You don't need all the other stuff. 2 weeks before their main event, are they going to win the tag team titles? Why are we doing this? Like, that's too many times. It's like, let's have the main event people of WrestleMania be a tag team a month out. Why would I want to tag? Why would I want to tag with you? We about to fight for the title. Like, no.
Yeah, it's been a head. They love doing that recently, and it's just a head scratcher every time. Whether it's Asuka and Rhea Ripley, I believe they're supposed to be in a tag team on Monday.
We've seen it on NXT, we've seen it on Raw, we've seen it on SmackDown. We've seen it for far too long, and it's just tiring. It's like, at least they finally got on the right page, because it's like, you know, Sasha Banks wants to prove, I'm the boss, I'm a movie star, I'm the man, you're a rookie, anything like that. And Bianca Belair is basically getting the Rhea Ripley treatment with fans. And it's like, you know, people like Bianca Belair. When she won the Royal Rumble, people were excited for that, because it's like, she, you know, they're pushing her, they do the WWE 24/7, she has an awesome story, people know who she is. And it's a funny thing, she's a cocky prick, but she likable. She should not be likable. It's just, you know, it's like, The Rock has that. Likable asshole. And if you can pull that off, you in there. Because you get to keep your edge. You get to be tough. And people cheer you. And it's like, Sasha's going to be in Hollywood sooner than later. She don't really need the belt anymore. So she's going to, definitely is going to have, you know, incentive to make Bianca Belair look great. So she's going to be bumping around like Eddie Guerrero on I'm not going to say what I was about to say. Rest in peace, Eddie Guerrero. She's going to bump around like prime Eddie Guerrero. Let's just leave it at that. Leaving four substances out of that, you know, description, because we don't really need to. So I'm looking forward to that match. The only other match I'm really looking forward to, and it's a shame of Mike One, is Cesaro and Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah, I will admit, I'm looking forward. I think they've damaged a little bit of Lashley and McIntyre with, especially this past week on Raw.
He's going to get started on that. He's going to get started on that really soon.
But, yeah, Cesaro and Seth Rollins has had some fairly straight build-up here ever since Rollins got back. And, you know, at least with it does seem on the SmackDown side of things that they're at least they're consistently pushing new guys, at least into more main event spots, because Cesaro is one guy that has had a little bit of a consistent build. And Big E has had some consistent build recently, too.
Yes. And like Cesaro said, Rollins thing is simple. You have two excellent wrestlers. Seth Rollins wants respect. Cesaro doesn't respect them. They fight. That's it. And that's perfect. And I'm laughing my ass off. Cesaro just jumped to Seth Rollins backstage and giving him the swing and slacks. I'm like, I hope he don't drop him on this hard concrete floor. Like, that takes strength. Like, I don't know if I would take a giant swing backstage. He might slip and hit me, and I go head first into a ladder.
Yeah, that can go wrong very quickly. Especially, I'm trying to think of, because did he have, like, a nice pair of shoes on, too? I think he did.
He had his regular old his church loafers on and some European cut slacks. Like, that's the one thing about Cesaro. Like, see, Seth Rollins, this whole thing is like, yeah, I'm going to dress like the Riddler. Like, yeah, like, I'm laughing because all of a sudden it's like, most wrestlers don't know how to dress. I'm going to dress super cool. And it's definitely different. Sometimes he pulls off, sometimes he doesn't. It's just hilarious because wrestlers don't dress like that. and he's dressing like I'm a model. It's just hilarious coming from Seth. Like, Seth Rollins, the fashion icon, was not something I would see coming. And the fact that it's a thing is just hilarious. But it's just been, I like to build up, it's just wrestlers who want to prove who's the best, who prove respect. It's going on Cesaro thing tomorrow. You always been close, but you can't get over the hump. It's like that's been the truth of Cesaro. Like, he should be bigger than what he is. And they're creating a storyline. Seth Rollins at this point now where it's almost, what else can he do? Like, he has done basically everything. And it's like, it's funny, he's been around for a while, but it feels like he's been around for like 20 years. And I know it hasn't been that long, but it's like, he's done everything there is to do. Now what?
Yeah, you're right. Like, he's won multiple championships. Has he won the Rumble?
I don't think he has.
He's won the Money in the Bank brief. Like, I think the Rumble might be the only thing he hasn't done.
Yeah, but beyond that, he's done everything. He's been to the top of the show as a babyface. He's been to the top of the show as a heel. He's been a tag team specialist. He's been the whole faction thing. I've done the whole talking thing. It's like, you know, remember all that stuff with him and Rey Mysterio and Dominic?
Yes.
My man Murphy, like, that seemed like, it wasn't that long ago. It's like 1,000 years ago. And I was like, I just kept this, you know, he was basically, you know, a cult leader for like 6 months with one glove. And now it's like, I'm back to Seth Rollins. And I'm just looking forward to that match. But you know why I made that sound? You start talking about Lashley and McIntyre. So, you want me to say it?
Yeah, sure. Go for it. Because I saw what the line was online. And that's another one where I agree with you, too.
Here's the thing. It was real simple. Have two badasses wrestle. Like, they have Austin and Rock. Drew McIntyre, tough guy, badass babyface. Lashley, cool, badass, became babyface or tweener. That's all you had to do. We can't do that. It's like, we're going to take all the things that people liked about Lashley and throw them in the trash. Now all of a sudden, he's a coward. He needs Akira Tozawa to jump McIntyre before WrestleMania. Yeah, you know, the Hurt Business, this cool faction that everybody like. We gonna throw that in the trash. Let's bring in Baron Corbin, somebody that no one likes and no one will ever cheer for. Why? So people can cheer for Drew McIntyre. Because he didn't get his WrestleMania moment last year. Because we had an itty-bitty pandemic and he had to waste the time with Goldberg. So he needs to get chair with his little sword and his little kilt. And how are we gonna do that? Let's turn Drew McIntyre into an asshole. Yeah, if it was me, I'd bully you. You want to get the title shot? Like, why? Leave Ricochet alone. He is minding his business, enjoying the mid-card and a steady check. Why, you know, first we had to deal with him crying and whining. Sheamus was my friend. We used to share cereal. And now he beat me up because he won a title shot. Oh, boo-hoo, what I want to do. Got through all that. Now he'd be an asshole and a bully because he went through, like, if that was me, I'd have did this. It's like, this ain't going to work. This whole, let's turn Lashley into a coward just to cheer Drew McIntyre. If you left Drew McIntyre alone, you wouldn't have to worry about that. Like, I'm mad about this because you had a great setup. You are ruining Bobby Lashley in the Hurt Business for one night. It's not going to work. If they wanted Drew McIntyre to be loved and cheered at Mania, they should have kept the belt on Miz. That's what they should have did. And instead, they gave us Bobby Lashley. They're going to take away Bobby Lashley. And in a month from now, we're going to have Drew McIntyre wrestling Braun Strowman. Big whoop. So you understand why someone that saw what happened with Kofi Kingston and someone that's dealt with decades of black wrestlers getting the shaft will feel a certain way about this Mania buildup. Because I know how this is going. And I got to hear Hulk Hogan's dumbass that weekend anyway. So, yeah, I am rather perturbed about this buildup for WrestleMania.
They went from, like, it was a matchup that I was really looking forward to. Because I'm like you said, like, you got badass on badass. And, you know, you could have still, without doing away with the Hurt Business, you could have gotten Cedric and Shelton Benjamin on the sideline one way or the other. So that they, you know, they don't interfere, at least. So that kind of chews up a couple of weeks of TV. Do two singles matches or something like that instead of making them look incompetent in a two-on-one match. And it makes things a lot easier, like, storyline-wise, and you keep the Hurt Business together. Like you said, like, it's, they just overthought it for I don't know what reason whatsoever. Like, they didn't.
That's the reason. They wanted Drew It's too many choices of Mania this year has been course correction because people didn't get their moment last year in the sun because of COVID. So we're going to remake it this year and just, you know, Drew deserved to be treated like a hero. So we're going to make him a hero, damn it, no matter what we need to do. And it's kind of like, they are not going to get the reaction they think they're going to get because a lot of people like Bobby Lashley and people like Drew McIntyre until you messed up his character. And it's very blatant. Like, when Baron Corbin came out, I was like, all right, we know what's going on. we know this song and dance. Y'all just want to have Bobby Lashley be booed in this. Like, just, like, didn't have to do that. He's still going to get cheered because WrestleMania, like, the whole thing. A fan crazy enough to go to WrestleMania in a pandemic is going to be a diehard fan, and they know exactly what this is.
That has been a common theme for pretty much everyone I've recorded with is we don't think that the fans are going to react the way that they think the fans are going to react. Like, they are in for a rude awakening that I don't think they're ready for.
Boy, they're going to be like, man, we should have stayed in the Thunderdome. they're going to be like, well, I can't, I can hear it now. Sources say, I can't believe this is going to happen. Like, you didn't learn your lesson with the Daniel Bryan stuff when both Batista and Roman Reigns got steamrolled with that. You didn't learn your lesson when you tried that nonsense with John Cena and The Rock. You spent 5 or 6 months trying to have people boo. You know, we're going to have John Cena cheer in a Rock's hometown in Miami at WrestleMania. Yeah, all right. Like, come on. Like, you have done this too many times to think that, yeah, we no. Like, you are not going to get the reaction you think you're going to like. And the worst part about it is you didn't need to do that. You could have just had them wrestle. And that's why I'm mad. It's like,
oh, yep.
Flash and lose it. And it's like, okay, so Drew going to have, like, and my whole thing is, I wouldn't have had a problem Lashley losing if Drew was just champ and it was champ versus challenger. Drew beat Lashley. You'd be disappointed, man. But it was like, if it was a fair match, back and forth match, two badasses, it's whatever. But this whole convoluted thing is like, we're going to take the belt off of Drew. We're going to make Lashley into this, like, Lashley's a star. We're going to reward him. And then completely remove everything that was there that made Lashley Lashley. And that's the core problem with WWE. Oh. People like to say WWE doesn't know how to make stars. No, that's not the problem. They know how to make stars. They don't know how to maintain them.
Oh.
Because every time somebody becomes a star, the last person that became a star, that stayed a star, because they didn't change. You know the last two people was? Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar the first time. Think about that.
I feel like that's a pretty reasonable take. Like, Daniel Bryan is still not their responsibility.
Yeah, like they never.
They fell into that storyline.
They fell into that, and it's like, you know, even then, it's like they never really embraced it. Even Kofi Kingston, you know, we embrace a half ass. We really didn't want to. Eddie Guerrero, we never really embraced it. Kurt Angle, let's make him a cornball. A more cornball than normal. Batista, yeah, you cool. Hug a kid. Kiss a fat kid. Oh, how he get booed against Kennedy? What did we do? Like, they just can't help themselves. Like, they, you know, Triple H, same thing. The Rock, you know, The Rock is like, you fiddle around, not sure. Yeah, Stone Cold, they didn't touch. Thank God for that. Undertaker, they didn't touch. That was a long time ago. But everybody else, John Cena, CM, you know, the people they push and chose, Roman Reigns, they forget what make the person what it is, they remove it, and they get surprised. Oh, why are people booing Randy Orton or something? Like, because he had a badass heel and tried to turn him into a milk bread baby face. It's like, that ain't going to work. Like, it ain't natural. Even Randy Orton said it himself. It's like, this ain't natural. The fans knew it. That's why I fell in this space. And like, we keep doing this. And it's like, one day, you're going to learn your lesson. They never going to learn their lesson. That's not going to change until Vince McMahon is dead.
Oh.
Basically.
Yeah, because, and it's one thing that with the people moving on from NXT more times than not, you know, Triple H really hasn't had much of the occasion to overuse people. Like, he's just getting to that stage with, like, Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole, and even, to a lesser extent, Kyle O'Reilly, trying to figure out what, you know, normally they're out of his hands by the time they get to this point where it's like, what do you do with them? Or how do you maintain that star? Like, they build them up, they usually win the championship, then they lose to the next big name, and then they get bumped up to the main roster.
Here's the dirty secret about the whole NXT to WWE thing. Women, with few exceptions, tend to do better, the ones that's pushed in WWE to NXT. Some do the same, only like, I would say, Shayna Baszler and Ember Moon was the only ones that did worse. Everybody else, they did the same or a lot better.
Oh.
Yeah. Men almost universally do worse. Like, Kevin Owens is probably the only one that has had more success or has a better reputation in the main roster than he did in NXT. Everybody else either stayed, you know, and the Street Profits stayed the same. Everybody else either did worse or a lot worse. That's just how it broke it down to. Because it's kind of like, they look at it as like, well, you know, or I don't even count Drew McIntyre because that's just seen like a whole weird thing anyway.
Oh,
like, Droopy NXT never, it just felt, well, we just got to rehab you. He never felt like an NXT person. But it's like, you know, well, you're too small or you're too fat or you're just too weird, too different. You know, or too foreign. The women, you're blonde. You can talk. We'll make it work. Or it's like, you know, it's a funny thing with the women. They consistently keep pushing out excellent women. And it's kind of like, it's almost, unless you're super weird, you'll be okay. It's like, if you got the right hair, if you basically got the right hair color, or if you're super talented and American and white, you'll be fine. If you're not, you got to be special. The men, it's a mixed bag. Like, it's Finn Balor. I can't wait. You know, Finn Balor be on NXT, so you all need to know. The first Universal Champion. Yeah. I can't wait to go back to NXT. Samoa Joe is Jerry Lawler. You know, like, that's Samoa Joe. He probably enjoying himself. Oh, I don't got to do those stupid-ass bumps. I still get paid. I get to talk. You know, Ryan Saxon ain't that annoying. But it's this kind of like, yeah, Nakamura, hey, I like surfing. I'm chilling. You know, and we gonna keep getting it. Like, you know, Karrion Kross, whatever. I mean, that is not my cup of tea. He just seemed like he a big man in a small pond, and it's like, whatever, that gimmick is what it is.
Well, that's one that they still kind of haven't. I don't completely understand the motivations of how they work at all. Like, they kind of have them in a certain pocket, but they're not really telling you why they're in that pocket. Like, Santos Escobar has kind of explained his position multiple times. Like, you get why he has his motivations. Cross, it's like, okay, like, yeah, your woman's hot, that's cool, but I don't understand why you guys are carrying around a clock, an hourglass.
Because it's my time. Tom, why don't you just, I mean, it's, and it's like, is he a baby? It's funny where it's heel versus heel with this whole thing. And it's like, you know, you just root for Finn Balor because Finn Balor been doing it longer. He's smaller. But neither one of them were like, Karrion Kross, that whole, he going to be a babyface against Santos Escobar, that's laughable. Whatever. He got weighed about 75 pounds, and it's because his woman kept looking at him. Like, whatever. You sell me whatever you want, your boy. That don't mean I'm buying everything you sell. Like, this shit was nonsense then. And it's like, Karrion Kross is just a big guy on a small roster. That's all he is. Like, I'm not going to get, you know, yes, his woman is conventionally attractive. Big whooping. She works in WWE. And a whole bunch of ugly women work there anyway. I ain't getting excited about some medium-sized big man that has a suplex as a finisher. It's like 1997. Talk about. a back suplex? He ain't Japanese. Like, that's it. Like, it's nothing in the present. Like, it's all smoke and mirrors. Like, everything is special to the bell rings. We've got a lot of people who do that. You know, Bray Wyatt knows magic. Karrion Kross ain't impressing me.
Yeah, he hasn't been burnt to death and come back to life yet. So, yeah, I mean.
Like, he turned Alexa Bliss into a pixie zombie, has Randy Orton vomiting up black blood. Like, that's, yeah. That shit spooked me. I'm like, okay, that's going to impress me. Karrion Kross coming out. Oh, look, he got his hot girlfriend. Well, I've never seen that before. Yeah. Other matches on night, you know, New Day, AJ Styles, and Omos. You get to see Omos wrestle. I think that match is going to be a squash match. They're going to squash poor Xavier Woods. I like they brought the moving, like the moving screen again. And kudos to Xavier bringing back the HBK old Raw graphic and Kofi bringing back the Eddie Guerrero graphic. That's cool. But it's fine. Bad Bunny versus The Miz. It just amazes me that somebody caliber Bad Bunny seems to really enjoy wrestling. Like they say, he moved closer to Florida to get more training.
Yeah, that one was a story that I saw. They're like, oh, he's in here almost every day training. I was like, wow, man, this match might turn out better than I expected, especially after The Miz is still a champion for taking a real punch. Like, yes. Bad Bunny did not hold back. I mean, I know that he hit him in the side of the face / shoulder, so he was being smart about it, but he still took one for the team. Yeah,
you let a grown man really punch you. It's like, that's something. It's like, Big Show did that with Floyd Mayweather. It's like, yeah, make it look real. And he broke his damn nose. That's the thing people do for wrestling. It's like, and I just laugh. It's whole, oh, they got Logan Paul and Bad Bunny. Who cares? I'm like, come on now. I'm a washed up nerd. And I know who Logan Paul is. And that's not even my lane. The fact that they got him for, it's not even a big match. It's Kevin Owens and Sammy like that. We'll get to that later. The fact that they got him and he actually wants to be there is amazing. The fact that this man is one of the most popular musicians on the planet. He just won a Grammy. He showed up on Saturday Night Live with the 24/7 belt, and you got him for a match? I don't hear nobody complaining about Puddle of Mud. Like, shut up. No offense. I like the Daredevil 2003 soundtrack as much as anybody else, but can we, you know, we can move forward.
I didn't want Puddle of Mud in the first place, so I'm okay moving to Bad Bunny, who's actually gonna. I mean, like you said, like the guy is committed enough, and he's gonna do something in the ring. And I mean, they feel confident enough, like that it's gonna be a singles match. Like, yeah, there's probably gonna be some bells and whistles, and he's not gonna really wrestle a whole match, or at least I don't think so, but. That's a pretty strong feeling to not make that a tag team match like you did. It just even what? It was a few years ago that, hey, we're not sure how Ronda Rousey is going to look. Let's make this a tag team match. She obviously blew it out of the water, but, you know, they didn't give her a somewhat high profile singles match. Yeah, is their Floyd first match.
That was like the last big one that they did as a single match. It was just normally tag match because, like, you never know. When you wrestle, it's different. You know, when you're actually out there, wrestling is not as easy as people make it out to be. And it's like, you know, it's still, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's kind of like, I'm sure Miz is going to do everything to do to make it entertaining. And Bad Bunny seems to really love pro wrestling, which isn't surprising because ethnic people who like wrestling really like pro wrestling. And the fact, like, he doesn't want to embarrass himself, doesn't want him, you know, get laughed at. He probably take pride in it. He probably respect and love it. So he gonna put the fact he's doing it. Me, he ain't just doing. It ain't like Mickey Rourke. I just show up. I'll punch Jericho, whatever. It ain't that type of thing. Like, he obviously wasn't here to do it. So, I'm like, out of the two nights, night one has more things I'm curious to see. Night two, you know. Okay. Well, we can say the title match for last. Asuka Rhea Ripley just feel like, you know, Rhea Ripley getting a do-over.
Oh.
For last year. And it's just kind of like, the fact that everybody's saying that, you know, like, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax basically said that, you just wash your way up to the main event because of last year, you didn't have to do nothing, you get a title match. But you Charlotte now? Like, that's the whole storyline.
Yeah, Rhea started off in NXT as Little Charlotte, got away by completely doing a makeover look, and now she's in the exact same spot, because, yeah, they don't know, like you said, like, they have not known what to do with Asuka. She did great up until Money in the Bank, like, everyone was loving her. And then she just got too goofy.
No. I'll say this. She's naturally goofy. Just go. All you got to do is go follow her on Twitter. You know what happened? No. It's, you know what? It really sunk in. I watched a little 24/7 Charlotte did. And Charlotte talked about why she came back. You know, health reasons, fixing stuff. She said she wanted to tag with Asuka. Because, like, Asuka always overcomes. She's the best. I respect her. She put me over when she didn't have to. She don't got nothing to prove. She deserves, like, everybody that did that wrestle knows what Asuka can do. But it's kind of like, she's always going to fight that uphill thing because she's just so different than what they have. And, you know, that's the thing. People know the deal. Like, she going to lose. And it's like, they going to feel this BS and that's fine. And no one has any issue with Rhea Ripley, but, like, what's she done last 6 months? Lose to Io Shirai, get bullied by Raquel Gonzalez. And now she's going to come and just take the title because it's her time and Bianca Belair took her spot at the... Like, this would have made more sense last year when they was pushing her like a star and then she had visa problems. She loses to Charlotte and then Charlotte gets slandered. Now it's just like, oh, we got to make it up. So here you go. And it's kind of like... The crowd going to be looking at this like... It does no favors for Rhea Ripley because it feels like... It's your turn now. We just gonna give it to you. And earn and deserve is stupid in pro wrestling because it's like it's all based on whatever the booker says. But fans have a perception. Fans gonna be looking at this. I'm looking at this like whatever. Like I know the deal. It's too many of this whole I know what's going on. It's nonsense, but whatever. And I accept it, but that don't mean I really have to like it. And that's what this match feels like.
That's a good description, I think. Like, I keep on hoping that Asuka's gonna win just because, I mean, Rhea just, that women's division on Raw has just been cursed every which way. You know, you get all kinds of, Charlotte comes back and she was essentially kneecapped as soon as she came back and then got thrown into some weird feud with Lacey Evans. And that ends up in a pregnancy. So that aborts
she's really pregnant. Yeah.
And then Charlotte ends up with a bad, I don't know if you call it a bad test result, but a test result with a high level of some, I can't remember what the acronym was, but some level was high that means you're usually pregnant. So they take her out for that, and then she contracts COVID, and this all kind of happens right like a month before WrestleMania.
Yeah. Oof. And now she doesn't have it. It's amazing. The horsewomen, Becky Lynch is still home being a mom, and they have absolutely nothing for Bayley and Charlotte. That is... Bayley was the MVP of SmackDown for a long ass time, and they have nothing for her. And Charlotte is Charlotte. Like, Charlotte's whole gimmick is, I'm gonna get a title match. Like, that's her gimmick. The fact that they have nothing is just amazing. Like, Charlotte was just snake bitten. Like, she just needed to take a break, and just a lot of bad things happened. And Asuka got dragged down too. That whole Lacey Evans thing didn't do any favors at all.
No.
It just happened the way it happened. The Bayley one's just kind of like, yeah, she ain't fighting for the title. Like, as soon as the Sasha Banks stuff happened, Chris Jericho have a talk show. Like, that's what happened. Like, they didn't give her anything to do.
Yeah, and she still doesn't have, she hasn't even had the talk show. That's how bad it is. Like, they have so little for her to do, they're not even helping her move storylines along.
Yeah, she's not a tag team, so she can't go for the tag titles, and, like, she's not gonna be the Andre Battle Royal, that's gonna be on SmackDown. It's like, like, that match is just, we got to do it to do it. The rest of the matches is like Riddle and Sheamus, whatever. I do not care about either one of them. May God bless both of them. I'm glad Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn get to have their, two best friends fighting at WrestleMania and have a YouTube personality on there. They're going to have a good match. Biggie and Apollo Crews. I don't have a problem with Apollo Crews' gimmick because I'm not a stuck-up white guy. I actually have Nigerian friends. They have told me that they have blessed the gimmick. They said it's fine.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like, because I remember when it came out and I was kind of side-eyed. Not that it wasn't authentic. It's just kind of like for certain reasons. I have people in Nigeria, so that's neither here nor there. But it's funny, a lot of my best friends, I went to pharmacy school, so a lot of my friends are there. So I asked them, what do you think about this gimmick? He was like, it's fine. The accent's kind of wishy-washy, but if you grew up in America, your accent going to be like that anyway. Other than that, it's cool. Brings pride to it. If you got the arrogance down, and we can be arrogant, they signed off on it. And it's funny how the reaction, I saw with Meltzer roll. I'm like, there's a lot of people like, this is racist, Nathan. I'm like, no, it's not. You just used to seeing Saba Sima Kamala, so anytime you see a spear, you go back to 1980. So I think it's like we had so much PTSD with it, we just assume that it's going to be that way. It's like, if he signed off on it and it's authentic to him and he doing it, I don't have an issue with it. I have a more issue with the whole thing. It's like, if Big E only loses if he's going for the title. And it feels like he hasn't been IC champ enough to, just lose it. And they already had a match. Like, they've already been shooting half matches. And, like, he's beaten Apollo already. And so I'm just wondering where they go with it. Like, you can't just have him keep beating Apollo Crews. But if Apollo wins, you only do that if Big E's ready for the big time.
I guess that's... It's kind of that whole, like you were saying, that Big E hasn't been reigning long enough. If he had had more opponents beaten other than Apollo Crews, and Apollo Crews came back to kind of bite him in the ass with a new gimmick, I think it would work, but he's pretty much only beaten Apollo Crews during his title reign.
Yes.
It's just like, okay, like, I'm behind him. I love Big E. But, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that they haven't done all that great of a job with follow-up with him.
I think part of his injury, part is kind of like, Edge has complicated things. And I'll look at that in a second. It's like, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton. God bless Randy Orton. He doing, like, one thing about Randy Orton is when he in, he all in. And he don't mind doing the weird shit. Like, I'm crazy as hell. You want to, if I got to set you on fire again, I'll do it. And I'll set her on fire too. Like, Randy Orton is basically like Randy Orton being a pretty boy maniac just works because it's like Randy Orton seems like that. Like, it seems comfortable where it's like he looks the way he looks, but you know he kind of off.
Right.
But he knows it too, so it works. Like, yeah, I know I'm crazy. Y'all know I'm crazy too. Like, this man, like, he really gonna have a match with Alexa. Well, like, I'm surprised he ain't trying to punt kick her. He gave Beth Phoenix the RKO and says for her own good. Like, you know, I'm doing this because I love you and your kids. I'm trying to have your husband keep a daddy. Take this home with you. So that's how Randy Orton spent a whole beginning of career spitting on Harley Race and giving the RKO to old grandmas like Mae Young. Like, we remember doing that. We asked Stacey Keebler about, oh, Randy wouldn't do that to a woman. He wouldn't. Randy would do it to an 8-year-old. Don't push that man. Like, you better stay out my ring. And he'll say, I'm teaching him life lessons. So I'm enjoying the Randy Orton side of this feud. Bray Wyatt, I mean, he Undertaker 2.0. That's fine. The Alexa Bliss stuff is just silly. Like, she's not a good enough actress to be doing this stuff. So it just comes off as, like, second rate. And it's, like, childish. The pentagram stuff, I'm not, you know, I'm just like, oh, this is a bridge too far for me. I'm like, boy, Undertaker was crucifying folks and hung Boss Man. But this is the ceremony he's standing on. But it's I don't mind goofy stuff in wrestling. Because wrestling is goofy. And they have a history. And the first time they've done goofy stuff, I'm cool with it. You know, it gives them something to do. And it has backstory. I've just been laughing how Alexa Bliss has been cursing Randy. Like, when he spit up that black vomit, I laughed. I'm sorry, that shit was fun.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those few high-profile matches that we're going to get at two different WrestleManias.
Yeah.
Hopefully, in this one, it's going to be a hard time for them to make this worse than the other match.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. When we actually went to that one live, it's like, is that a snake? Why is it worms on the mat? We would just laugh, like, this shit is stupid. Like, I wasn't even mad. I was like, this is just dumb. And everybody knew. And the crowd was just gone. They booed and just laughed. They're like, oh, Lord. They heard a groan and just laughing. So I was hoping it was like a Firefly Funhouse match like seen last year. But I don't think going into minor Randy Orton may not work the way Bray Wyatt thinks it does. Because, like, you know, Cena is a weirdo, but he's still like straight laced John Cena. Randy Orton is kind of like the scapegoat. Like, yeah, go in my mind if you want. Oh. They're going like that. Like, remember, I ran away from the Marines. You really want to mess with me?
Always remember, I took a dump in somebody's bag.
Yeah, that's one thing Austin didn't ask him on that Broken Skull podcast. He asked a lot. It was like, Austin ain't going to ask everything. And then it's the main event. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, it's weird because I feel out of the three people in there, Edge is the one that's like, it's kind of funny because Roman Reigns has been doing the best stuff of his life. And Roman Reigns has been the best thing of SmackDown. And that whole joke, I forgot who was getting interviewed tomorrow. I wasn't tapping out. I was giving Morse code to Paul, the gas to plane because you got to leave. It's just hilarious. And it's like, Roman Reigns is awesome.
Yes, he is. He is not the problem in this equation.
He is awesome. He's been awesome the whole time. I love Roman Reigns, the work he's doing with Heyman and his henchman, Jey Uso. Daniel Bryan has been basically plotting for this for a long time. He told y'all he's going to get in this match. Like, yeah, I'm putting everybody over. My dream ain't dead yet. Don't you forget about me. And people will always have sympathy for Daniel Bryan. The Edge thing is weird because it's like, Edge is back. We didn't think he would be back. We love when he came back. But we had a lot more love last year for Edge than we do this year for Edge. This one, it feel like, oh, he got hurt. So he didn't get his hero journey and then pet COVID head, so we're going to give it to him now. And it's like, it seems like it's a triple threat so Roman Reigns doesn't get pinned. I really don't want to see Roman Reigns. I mean, I don't. Do they put the belt on Edge?
I hope not. Like, even though I know that Roman has at least a foot out the door right now, I still feel like he needs to be champion for a little bit longer to really cement in his greatness status, because this is, and this kind of goes back to like your earlier point, like they screwed up Roman Reigns so many times, and like they finally have him in a good gimmick that matches his personality and fits in well with him. And it's just like, oh man, I just personally want this attitude to last longer. And him losing the championship isn't going to allow that to happen. Like, yeah, he's got to change gears a little bit if he loses the championship.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, you know, yeah, Edge got it, yay, then what? Now Edge got to defend it. And it's like, you know, it just feels like Edge doesn't need the belt. I don't think you're going to have Edge as the champ. Eventually going on tour. I don't think Edge wants that schedule again. And you only have Roman Reigns. You got Roman Reigns till Mania Hollywood. But then after that, you don't got him anymore. I feel like this leads to like Roman Reigns eventually wrestles The Rock. He has nothing else to prove. And then he's going to be making movies with The Rock again. So you got 2 years. At most, maybe less if it's like y'all keep bringing these COVID germs around when he told y'all not to. He might just, you know, give y'all the business. So maximize it. Have him keep having the belt. People like him having the title. Because it's like, have the person who beats him have be the person that's going to be the next flagship person. If it ain't Big E, I don't know who it is right now. It ain't Daniel Bryan because he 1 foot out the door too, and oh. It ain't, yeah, it's like
for other reasons.
You gonna build up Roman Reigns just to have him lose to Edge? It's like, no offense to Edge, that's silly.
Yes, it's completely silly. Like, Edge is great and worthy of his Hall of Fame spot, but. Yeah, his comeback journey should not be beating, like, the badass of the WWE currently.
And the funny thing about that is everyone was of the assumption that Edge was going to be doing this on Raw. Where, you know, he's going to have the belt and he's going to wrestle Drew. I mean, he's going to win Royal Rumble and wrestle Drew for the belt. And things just turned out the way it turned out. So now he's on SmackDown. It's like, and then they made a triple threat. And it's like, I don't know. It might be all moot because like Roman was wins anyway, and them two old blonde people just go back to being blonde. But I just feel like it's some shenanigans that's going to happen. It's going to be pissing off a lot of people. Like most of these matches on this card. It's one more match before I go. I almost forgot it. It's the match I hate the most. It's Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, he skipped that one on night one.
I skipped it.
As bad as I feel like the Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks build has been, that's been just trash. It's just been bad. From Shane forgetting lines to a storyline that I guess it could boil down to the easy, it's stupid.
Yeah, like, I don't even like Braun Strowman. But he is completely justified. He keeps getting screwed. We got a title match, only world champ. I was a world champ. Well, not that belt. But that guy got the same belt as me. How is he in it? Well, it's different. It's like, y'all keep screwing Braun Strowman. All right, screwed him there so he can get a title opportunity. Then you had, why don't you be in a tag match with Adam Pearce for the tag titles, and then that don't work out. And then it's like, you know, you think you had a match with Shane, oh, he caught a cramp. And then it's like, oh, Shane calling him dumb with his report card and all that stuff. It's like, Shane McMahon matches at Mania don't bother me. Because, like, Shane going to do crazy shit for his age, and he going to, like, kill himself for the fans, like Tom Cruise. Fine. But it's kind of like the build-up has been so dumb because you made Bron look like an idiot and Shane just look like a fifth grader. And it's like, what? He can't beat Braun Strowman. It's like, not in no type of fight unless he, like I said before, unless he coming up with a gun, he can't beat Braun Strowman.
Well,
if he had one, it's like he might miss it, he might be afraid, so.
And they made it worse by putting it into a cage match.
He's throwing that man through that cage. Like, Shane is going to fall off that top of that cage and get tossed through that cage. Like, Shane, he doing whatever he do to hurt himself to have his daddy love him. Like, he loves Triple H. Good luck to him. But it's like the whole, like, it's like anything else. The Shane comeback thing was cute when it first happened. You know, the match he had with AJ Styles, one of the best matches on Mania that year. Then the Undertaker stuff where Undertaker was just murdering him on Vince's orders was just, I guess. But then it's like, we got the whole Kevin Owens thing. And then it's like, all right, you think you're done with Shane. Then Shane comes back through Raw Underground, which was fun. And I miss Raw Underground.
Yes.
This right here is just like, and it's just a setup to like, after I'm done with Shane McMahon, I'm coming after the title. Oh, God, that's... I wonder why I watch wrestling. I mean, I grew up watching wrestling. Like some... I almost feel like I'm in Stockholm Syndrome, like I'm in an abusive relationship. Like, he just drunk. He didn't mean to beat me. I know he loved me deep down. That's what I feel sometimes. I feel like, what am I doing? There's so many TV shows and this stuff I could be doing, and instead I'm watching Raw.
Yeah, occasionally I wonder why I started a site about professional wrestling. This year has been pretty bad. Like, this has really been one of the worst built up WrestleManias in a while because they had most of every, like, as much as things got derailed for them for having a crowd last year, the stories weren't this disjointed. And there weren't this many matches being made almost, 2 weeks before WrestleMania itself?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, last year, all the matches had a build-up. The only thing that changed was the scope of the matches because of, you have a pandemic. And usually for the better. Like, you made some matches that need to be short. Like, good. You have Goldberg losing 30 seconds. That match don't need to be long. It's like stuff like that. This year, it's just like they had the time, but a lot of stuff was like, you know, either plans changed, we know what to do, or like, it's a stupid plan. And keep in mind, you don't know about the pre-show. A lot of stuff they would normally have in Mania, like they have on SmackDown. Like the SmackDown tag title, the Andre Battle Royal, that's happening on SmackDown. It's a lot of people that's not on the card. The people we talked about was like, Brock Lesnar ain't there either.
Oh.
People talk about the whole thing of like, you know, I would love to see WrestleMania without legends. Well, this is the card you look like. This is what you got. And the last Mania I remember that had a bad build that had great matches was the one I went to San Jose. And I remember Jeremy laughing at me. Going, that one, this is going to suck. And that's one of the best Manias they ever had because the match, like the build-up was trash. The matches were awesome. I'm looking at this card. It ain't a whole bunch. It's maybe out of 12 matches.
Yep, 12
five,
matches.
Five, that may be great at most. Six, if you real feeling real generous. It's going to be a whole bunch of stinkers.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the main event matches should be good, or all the title matches should be... I shouldn't say title matches, because that's probably too many. The singles matches, I think, should be good. And I guess I'm including the Roman Reigns, Edge, Daniel Bryan triple threat match in that. But those four matches, I think, should be pretty good. Owens and Zayn, but... That's one where some of these ones that are lower on the card, and even Cesaro and Rollins, you wonder how much time they're going to get if they can kind of get into that great match gear.
Yeah, because, you know, I guess we're right with that. The benefit of, like, having, you know, two nights is you can get matches time after the show film overdone. If they give Cesaro and Rollins 20 minutes, you have an awesome match.
Yes.
If you only get 8 or 9, you're going to get 8 or 9 things. It's like, I figured the bronze Shane match is going to be too long.
Oh.
Way too long. Because it's like, they are not cardio monsters. Either one of them. The New Day match is like, the New Day is awesome. AJ Styles is awesome. You haven't seen him on Omos wrestle, so that's curiosity. Bad Bunny and Miz ain't going to be long, nor should it be.
No.
Lashley and Drew McIntyre, they might have a 6-minute monster match or a 20-minute chin lock and rest hold match, and let's hope it's close to form or ladder. Sasha and Bianca Gomez is going to be great, so that I'm not worried about. Night one. Night two, Riddle and Sheamus. Even if it's great, so what? Like, I just don't. They just wrestle. And it's like, Riddle is just too icky and like, oh, I forgot my lines, dude. Like, that look Oscar gave, like.
Yeah.
I know Reed is allowed, but maybe it shouldn't be. It was the look she was rocking her face. Just, I forgot my lines. I know Vince McMahon is like. Yeah, he probably shook his head like, yeah, I'm glad I'm old.
Well, yeah. It would really help if he wasn't such a dumbass. You can be a pot smoker and not be a complete idiot, but that is, I suppose, neither here nor there in some like, respects.
I think Kevin Owens and Zayn can have a great match if they get time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the biggie of Power Cruise. I have no idea what a Nigerian Trump fight is. That's the one thing I forgot about. Like, I mean, I went to HBCU. I've seen Drumline and Stop the Yard. I have no idea what that match is going to look like. So I don't know. They could have a good match. It's just like, you know, as Big Man say, Big Man slapping meats. Because like he said, he didn't grow up that 5-star crap. He like Goldberg. He like big people beating up people. That's a man of my heart. Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton is just too much weird stuff. You never know.
Yeah, there's just going to be a lot of hijinks in that match. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's enjoyable, but I'm not expecting a great match, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because, like, you know, if somebody had me vomiting black blood, I wouldn't start the match off with a chin lock. So, I'm just saying. And Randy Orton has had matches like that. Like, you remember the match with Triple H? Randy assaults his wife, Triple H throws him out a window, and they starting off like, oh, I'm arm drag. Like, no, that's not how I'm starting that. Oscar and Rhea Ripley can both wrestle. I don't know if they've ever wrestled before, but that's something I didn't talk about. Why is Rhea Ripley being an asshole to Oscar? Why she took that table over on Oscar? Because she ain't like Oscar saying you ain't proved yourself yet to me. Like, you like they keep making the heroes look like dickheads.
I don't know. Especially because then on top of that, Rhea accepts the tag team match without Asuka getting up at all. And it's like, why would you do that?
Yeah, it's like, oh, we accept. I'm like, I didn't accept that. Like, no. Like, I was just looking at it like, ugh, that's why you had a Rhea Ripley. I mean, Rhea Ripley already borderline assholes as it is. You don't need to push her that way. Just have her stay the way she is. It's like, ugh, whatever. And then the Triple Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan, they're professionals. So I'm not worried about. But, you know, we'll see with that. But it seems like it's like between this and NXT, it's a lot of asshole central matches because I do not like this. One more thing before we go. I won't talk about too much NXT matches. This Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez stuff is nonsense. It's like, come on now. It is. We all want Raquel to have the belt. So y'all got Io Shirai try to jump her 3 times, get beat up 3 times. Like, no. Do not have Io Shirai have her look stupid. Why are you doing that?
Well, on a positive note, they did not go completely racist and tell her that she was doing a Pearl Harbor attack.
Oh, thank God. I'm surprised, too, because she had chances. Okay, well, like, this is some
They had 3 chances.
Yeah. And Raquel, like, throwing her through a wall, don't do it again. I'm going to do it again. Like, that goofy meme. Like, oh, I'm going to fucking do it again. So she do it again, and the worst thing's happening. Like, did Io situation where I learned her lesson? Nope. I'm going to do it again. It's like, it's the whole feud has been funny. Yes. Io Shirai wins her last match, and she's like, you know what? I ain't fight you yet, so we going to fight. That's cool. Io Shirai likes fighting, and she ain't afraid of fighting anybody. But ever since then, it's like, I'm a bully this woman that's 100 pounds bigger and 6 inches taller than me, and it's never going to work.
Yeah, that's the part that doesn't make any sense. Like, Io, even in all of her video packages, is like, hey, I'm going to be smart about this. Like, I'm strategic about the way I am attacking my opponent. Like, I know what their weakness is. And this is one time where it's just like, I just decided to be an idiot this time. Like, I'm just going to attack her willy-nilly, and I don't really have any plan. It's like, you're kind of the woman with a plan all the time. Like, why are you missing a plan now?
Yeah. Huh? It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to get her this time, and not getting her. And it's like, they try to make Raquel Gonzalez Kevin Nash. And that's what I'm like, I do not want to cheer for no big-ass MAGA Mexican woman champion. Like, stop. Like, you got to have her Karrion Kross be your champ. Like, one dude is a QAnon asshole that's into conspiracy theories, and the other one wants to build a wall to keep other Mexicans out. Like, come on, Triple H. Better than this. Like, that's, I think part of that is why it's bothering me. Like, you know, they've been pushing Raquel Gonzalez. It's painfully obvious they see big things in her. And like, Io Shirai is at the point where it's like, she has nothing else to prove. In NXT, they're bringing another Japanese, you know, and they have a rule like, no more than one Japanese wrestler at a time in NXT, and we're about to get another one, so it's time for Io to get, you know, get her promotion, because, you know, she deserves it.
Oh.
Her being the main roster is fine.
Well,
and
yeah.
NXT has an awesome women's division.
Yeah.
So I give them that, but it's just the optics of it is just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, the optics is a little rough. Like, Io and or Raquel, I'm going to assume, because I kind of forgot that Io dove on to everyone to end the show so that she got, quote-unquote, the last laugh, even though I saw the show, guys. She got her ass kicked.
Yes,
one dive does not make up for getting your ass kicked three other times.
And Kevin, I'm going to tell you something right now. You know how you can tell somebody, I have been mad at people. I'm older. I'm, you know, I'm trying to mellow out, but I've been annoyed at people. I don't think I've been annoyed at somebody enough to fly across the world during a pandemic because they pissed off my friends. So pour one out for Tommaso Ciampa, because I think Walter is going to murder that man. Because, you know how mad you got to be to travel, you know, across the Atlantic Ocean during a pandemic? Just to chop somebody in the chest because they were talking some nonsense about your buddies. Like, Walter don't travel. And Walter flew his ass all the way to Orlando to prove a point. And Tommaso Ciampa looking 90 years old. People talking about Edge look old. I'm like, you seen Ciampa? Like, I don't want to hear nothing about Edge looking old when you got, you know, old Resident Evil Greybeard walking around because he got abs and talking about, I'm going to prove I can wrestle. Y'all think I'm washed up because of my neck. I'm going to show y'all. Yeah, you're going to show us how to get your ass beat. Like, Walter's going to chop that man to death. And I'm going to like every second of it, because I like Walter bullying small people. I don't know what that says about me. I enjoy seeing Walter work, and I don't like Ciampa anyway. So, yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm clapped right now. He's going to prove, like, he respects the ring. I respect the ring. I'm ready for that match.
I told Jeremy the other day, I haven't seen a lot of Walter matches. Jeremy's still mad at me for not watching the Dragunov Walter match back at one of the NXT UK specials.
Walter is just like a video game Jean-Claude Van Damme villain that people like. Like, he's just this, because it's like, you would never think somebody with this body type WWE would push, because they wouldn't have pushed him. But he just looks like a real life tough guy. He's molded, like, he just beats people up. and he walks around with classical music playing. Like, I am an aristocrat that respects wrestling. You clowns don't respect wrestling, so I'm going to hurt you because you don't respect what I do. It's Imperium's real, you know, Imperium's borderline racist.
Third Reichish.
Yeah, kind of like race, you know, racial adjacent, not like blatant, but this whole, you know, a whole bunch of Europeans talking about respect and looking the way they look, kind of like, I don't know. I remember World War II.
Well, but, especially with, I mean, you got the Italian that, well, he's not German, is he? Is he? Or is he German?
You got an Austrian. An Italian, a Frenchman, and whatever Alexander Wolf is.
I think he's German, too.
So, yeah. Oh, so you basically got, you know, the Axis
powers. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, France is the only outlier in there. And yeah. Fabian Aichner is always one of those ones where I'm like, you do not sound Italian at all, sir.
He does not. I was like, you wouldn't have told me, I wouldn't have guessed it. So it's just like, they give a whole vibe like, yeah, if they went to my high school, they would probably try to jump me for sitting at, you know, out there, you drink that milk. Like that type of thing. But, and three of them I don't like, but I like Walter because he's just an old-fashioned bully. And I like old fat, and but he's straightforward, and I just laugh. Like, we can wrap up. I remember when they were pushing NXT during Survivor Series a couple of years ago, and they just brought Walter there. He was just beating shit out of people, and the crowd was loving it, and they got mad when he got pinned. And it's amazing. You would have never thought that happened. Like, for like a good month, NXT was just mopping the floor with everybody on the main roster, and everybody was loving it. It was like, you won't see that happen anytime soon. It's like, enjoy it while you can. And kudos to NXT moving to Tuesday. So now I have to flip back and forth between NXT and AEW. Because guess what? Spoiler alert. I've been watching AEW recently.
Oh. I still mainly, because my DVR is trash and it correctly records AEW, I tend to watch NXT first. But I think I watched AEW first this week I watched NXT first this week because we still had it on the USA Network.
Yeah, so I'm watching it because, you know, I'm a Sting fan. I love Sting. I know Cam hates that, but, you know, Sting coming back brings a smile to my face. And AEW is just a weird thing because there's people that you used to watch that's doing different things. You know, like Miro's doing whatever. Sean Spears, like, you know, being managed by people I used to watch when I was a kid, like Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, like Taz. It's like, it's a lot of people I've seen from other places doing stuff. And it's too many people I don't like, you know, Cody Rhodes, whatever. His wife is a definitely whatever. Like, she need to cut that ghetto shit out. Like, that is not you. So stop trying to act that way. Stop trying to make Jay Cargill look that way. I like Jay Cargill beating people up because it's like,
well,
it's like that. It's
she should be. Now, she is twice the, like, Nyla Rose is the only one even remotely in her weight class. Because, like, she made Red Velvet look like she was half her size.
It's kind of like the same how Bianca Belair, you don't realize how big she is, so she's standing next to a lot of those, like, NXT has, you know, nice-sized women. They got a lot of small, like, small women, too. And so does the main roster. Like, Bianca Belair is not small. Like, she can, you know, you bring about somebody that deadlifts 400-plus pounds and then have her wrestle, what's her face? What's the iconic one? Not Billie Kay.
Oh, Peyton Royce?
Yeah, but I will get my chops, my shot. Gonna give me like whatever you cut from all you like. I ain't cheering for you. It's called black people monkeys. The hell with you. So like, I'm not gonna expect her to, you know, just go toe to toe with Bianca Belair. The same thing. I like, you know, like I seen Jay Cargill on Instagram. I see her when she's in the ring. She looks formidable. And you know who else look formidable? We really gonna wrap it up. My girl Tainara Conti.
Oh,
they just have her kick the shit out of people, toss around. Blow people, rotate the cuffs out, and then cry and smile like an anime character when she wins. And it's awesome. I don't know. Like, everything is exaggerated with her. Like, it's like a video game. Like, yeah, I want her eyes get real big. Like, you know how they say when you're supposed to wrestle, you're supposed to emote so the person in the top rope gets to see you. She emotes like she wants somebody that's watching her a million miles away on Mars to see her. Like, she is, nothing is subtle about her at all. Like, how she moves, the faces she makes, the eyes, how she wrestles, and when she wins, it's like, she crying, she's hurting, like, I can't believe I won. Oh my God, it's great. And it's like, and she's actually good. Like, unlike NXT, where she had the potential to be good, she's actually good now. And I just watch her, like, you know, she just, you know, tosses people around just, and, you know, really kicks them in the face. It looks like it hurts.
Yeah, they're really letting her brace her, like, because what, judo and jujitsu, and, like, they've really let her, you know, hone her craft more closely to her, I don't want to say wrestling roots, but her MMA roots, I guess, is probably a better way to put it. And it's helped a lot instead of going, you must wrestle the WWE way.
Yeah, like, don't brag about her being a black belt in judo and then never and have her do one judo move like an AAT. Like, you know what? You're going to be a big butt Brazilian ninja. Wrestle that way. And that's what she's doing. And I was laughing at, like, you know, she's the number one contender. I'm like, she is? And then I watched a couple. I'm like, yeah, I guess she is. Her and whoever the Japanese woman that dresses like, you know, a Sailor Moon villain. The champion.
Hikaru Shida.
Yes. I mean, I like her. I was just like, oh, they got AEW, they got some style here. I've been surprised with style because I see Kenny Omega corny ass, and that's the thing that made me turn the channel. Like,
oh, yeah. They still have a lot of storyline problems over on AEW, but... I'm not going to, like you, I'm not going to argue with Ty Conti.
I see Kenny Omega and I'm like, oh, that says a that explains a lot about the problem with pro wrestling. That's y'all hero. I mean, like, in the ring, he's great. Everything outside the ring, like, wow. Okay, I guess. Maybe it's ain't for me. Like, this, he's just a cornball.
Oh, man. Yeah, he is. No better way to put that one. Any real last thoughts before I do a wrap up here?
Yes. Wrestling has proved that the whole wrestling war thing is strictly fan based at this time. And if anyone doubted that, just the fact that after WrestleMania on the Stone Cold podcast, his guest is Chris Jericho, and he basically worked that. Chris saw the Undertaker thing, thought that'd be cool. Want to be on the show? Yeah. Chris asked Tony Khan. Tony Khan said yes. Stone Cold asked Vince. Vince said yes. Stone Cold asked Vince again. You sure? He said yes again. And that's it. That's all it took.
Yeah, Chris Jericho is one of those guys that I'm just like, oh, I'm out. I have been out on Chris Jericho for quite some time. I'm just like, when I started seeing, oh, we're bringing on the flat earth guy, and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Uh-uh. Nope. Nope, nope. Not at all. I am out of here.
Yeah.
That's all. It took one flat earth one, and I'm like, yep. This is not, oh, this is to keep you informed. No, they're a fucking dumbass. Yes. I'm out.
Informed of what? Basically, it's kind of like, you know, this, that he's a more. If somebody would have told you that 5 years ago, Randy Orton would be the socially progressive one and Chris Jericho would have been the nut job maniac, you would have thought they were lying.
100%.
And look what happened. Like, I'm just amazed. Like, Chris Jericho, it's just amazing just to. What he's become. It's like Undertaker, you already knew. And oh. I like Undertaker. I know why people don't. I don't blame him. Yeah, he got. Like, we all have people that we shouldn't like. They're like, Jeremy still likes Mel Gibson. You know, he knows better. But I can't be on high mic. I like Liam Neeson. He talked about he wanted to club a black person in the head randomly to get revenge. So, and I was like, yeah, you know, some people you shouldn't like. Like that. Like I like Randy Orton Undertaker, even though I know I shouldn't. Chris Jericho, no, I cannot. It's just, besides, it's, if it was just one thing, that's one, it's fine. It's too many things. You can't be a, you know, I'm a flat earth guy, I'm a COVID denier guy, I'm a creepo pervert guy, and I'm a Trump guy. Like, it's way too many check my
stuff.
Like, I can look past like two of them, but I'm like, you got all of them. I'm like, okay.
That, well, and you add on top of that, I'm like, dude, stop drinking. Like, what is your, like, you're in your,
I'm alcoholic.
Yeah, you're in your 50s. Like, why are you turning into party guy now? Like, what the fuck? Like, I have a beer during the show. A beer. And I don't have one this show, but you know, like, I do not drink a whole lot. 5 to 7 beers a week. That's it. Like, Jericho is having, like, 5 to 7 a night. And it's just like, dude, you've got a problem. Like, it's not even funny. You just have a straight-up problem.
Yes. My name is Chris Jericho, and I am a middle-aged alcoholic. So
all to put over the boys or something.
Here we go.
Sure.
A sip of the bubbly. Him losing the belt because he was drunk. People laughed about that. I'm like, no, you should have went to rehab. Instead, it became a whole, I shat me all that. I had no drink of the bubbly and I lost my belt. Imagine, like, yeah, I lost my car. So I had a little too much to drink. I don't know what happened to it. I had a little sip of the yak. And now my brand new Mercedes, I'll find it when I find it. No, you know what? They were like, Shahid, you need help. That's what they would tell me. They wouldn't make a goddamn t-shirt about it.
That is 100% true. Good thing we don't have to worry about you getting on the sauce.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I'll be interested. I'm not sure if I'm going to... Because I still haven't... I didn't listen to the Randy Orton one, honestly, with Steve Austin. And I'm trying... Oh, Undertaker was the only... is that the only other big name one that he's done? At the... What are they calling him now? Broken Skull Sessions, yeah, I think?
Like, he's Bret Hart. Like, the biggest names have probably been Taker, Bret Hart, and Orton, men-wise. Sasha...
Do you have Duke Bailey also?
Yeah, I've seen all of them. I didn't finish. No, I came. I was not watching Kane. I'm like, man, boring. So I did not. I did not see Kane. The best ones have been Taker, Bret Hart, and probably, I know I'm missing a woman one. Sasha's was real good.
Okay.
Good. Like, it's some of them, like Goldberg was kind of standoffish. I didn't watch Kane. Big Show was fine. Mark Henry's good. The people, Steve, like, I think Steve Austin knows how to bring people out. Like Brenda was real good. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And like Sasha's and Bailey's were both good. You can tell that, like, the people he liked and respect. Because, like, you know, bringing, he, Austin has an ability of knowing what question to ask. You feel like he cares about what he's doing, and he feels comfortable. And I learned that on his show, like the USA show, because he was running around with Ice-T, and you would not think they would have anything in common. And it's like they've been friends for 30 years. And I would never guess. It's like he asked him, you know, tell me about your pep days. You know, you read about Donald Goins and Iceberg Slim. Tell me about that. Naturally. Like, they out there eating donuts, shooting guns, gas, and iced tea. Tell me about the days when you learned about how to be a pimp. And it didn't seem put upon or artificial. It didn't seem natural. And that's what Stone Cold has. He knows how to feel natural around anybody, except Dean Ambrose. You know, I'm going to throw that in.
Well, I mean, that is forever going to be, I don't know if it's necessarily a stain, but that interview definitely stands out for obvious reasons.
Damn, son, talk. I just vibe. It's like Dean Aaron, his WWE career, I don't know if it's coincidence what happened. It's like his career nosedived after that show.
Oh, yep.
So, kudos to him. He's enjoying himself now, doing that barbed wire nonsense and being a tough guy. So, but yeah. But no, definitely check out Randy Orton if you can. The Jericho one, I don't know. I like Stone Cold. Jericho's lived a experienced life, but Jericho now just got me. It ain't real. Like, because he ain't going to ask. Because think about it. He's not going to ask about Sturgis and the super spreader thing. He damn sure not going to ask, you know, I heard your wife was at the Capitol January 6th. You about to talk about that? Like, there's certain questions that he can't or will not ask. So, yeah. I'm curious, like, if you're going to ask the AEW-related questions. But, oh, I know that one was good. Kurt Angle was good.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that, whew, man, does he have a story and a half.
And Kurt Angle wants everyone to know, as Kevin about to tell the sponsors, he does not like that Perk Angle nickname. He knows about that. He was not wrestling high off of Percocets. He took them after the match or before the match. So leave him alone. Oh. He knew about the Perk Angle jokes. He is not a fan. Like, no, I ain't wrestling. I'm intoxicated. Who do I look like? Jeff Hardy? Yeah, he knew about y'all little internet jokes. And he was not a fan of that. I just want y'all to know.
I don't think it. Well, oh, yeah. There were some ones. I think it was one of the shows that Jeremy and I are like, I can't believe we didn't get blocked on Twitter by more people early in our Stunt Granny run because we were just real assholes.
Oh, yeah. I listened to some of those shows. I'm like, y'all should be happy that one of the Hardy Boys burned out a house in a meth lab and killed the dog.
Well,
yeah, Jeremy and Eric, you know, Dusty is just insane, but Jeremy and Eric, world class assholes. I'm like, oh, y'all lucky Twitter wasn't a thing because they'd have caught y'all as Greensboro somewhere like that. Y'all been shooting a fair one. Like, don't ask me for bail money. I ain't got it.
Well, good news since I didn't live down there. It just would have been Jeremy dealing with the consequences.
What happened? He got jumped on a Rock and Roll Express.
Oh man, that would have been pretty funny. Which is why it'll still always be a mystery, like who got us banned from Gold Dust's account.
Oh my god!
I still don't know who did that. I'm just assuming it's Dusty and going with that.
More likely, he is. I'm sure he is. Sense of humor leans toward Jerry Lawler's back then. I've seen some of Jerry Lawler promos. And for all the people complaining about Peacock censoring that stuff, it's like, if you really want to see Roddy Piper in blackface, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. Otherwise, you can shut the hell up. Talking about my childhood, my freedom. Oh, I don't get to see that. I don't get to see blackface no more in WWE. I don't got Vince McMahon using the N-word. Oh, man, they ruined my life. It's like, I'm looking at the people complaining about them. I'm like, oh, that's what you really miss, huh? You just wake up on a random Thursday. Oh, you don't want to see. I want to see X-Pac in blackface. That's gonna make my D smile.
Oh, I remember how, like, even as a child, when I saw the Piper one with Bad News Brown, I was like, dude, like, what the fuck are you doing?
I remember watching. I was like, I wasn't aware of the racial overtones yet because I was young. I was like, this just seemed weird. I'm like, what is Piper? Why does he have that? And like, he's talking about, you know, I'm a hot rod, I'm a hot Scott. He's like, is he doing a Michael Jackson? I just thought it was just real weird. And then I got older. I was like, yeah, that whole, I don't know about all that. The Nation of Domination thing, I'm like, I don't know how they got away with it. Because that was like the late 90s. And this way past Soul Man. Like 90s, by the 90s, you kind of knew better anyway. 80s, you could make that excuse. And I'm like, how they let this on the nobody stopped this?
Oh, yeah, well, that...
And it was just one person, because everybody else was fine. And everybody else was funny, especially Road Dogg. He was definitely funny in that Little Brown impersonation. I'm like, nobody saw... And it's funny, like, I was watching, I'm like, nobody said that. Nobody was like, I don't know about this one, guys. I know we kind of wilding out. The Vince stuff is like, it's whatever. Ain't nobody gonna tell him no. I remember when that happened, everybody being mad, laughing off, and being more mad. But it's like, if that's the stuff they removing, good. Because people was complaining about how you gonna complain about that, and you got slap shot on the Peacock. And I'm like, no difference between that. That stuff was funny back then, and it aged poorly. The stuff WWE did was never funny.
Oh.
It was bad when it came out. It was poor taste when it happened.
Yeah, Slapshot's like, what, 20 years older than any of this WWE material that we're talking about? At least 20 years older?
How you gonna test that? I can see John Wick, but I can't see Blackface. Oh, that's the same thing, huh? Boy. It's probably about a Hulk Hogan shirt on right now complaining about censorship and cancel culture. I'm like, they spent $1 billion. They are not letting that shit come on TV. That's... As Leonardo DiCaprio said, and Jake, I can do whatever I want with my property. He was talking about people. He was wrong for that. But the sentiment is still the same. They spent $1 billion. They are not having that shit on their network.
Nope. Not even a little bit.
And you know how I know they classed it up? Beth Phoenix documentary was on. And after that, you know what they had? Credits.
Oh.
They actually had credits. Who made it? Who was the grip, all this stuff, and I'm like, they've never done that before.
Oh.
Yeah, and it never sunk in. I never paid attention to them never doing it until I saw them do it with that one. And it felt classier. Like, they're real good with documentary. They actually did a documentary, like a non-WWE wrestler, like I think the high school woman wrestler.
Oh, like, yeah, I feel like I saw an ad for that.
Yeah, like, they're good about the documentary. That's one thing the network is good for. They're good about the documentaries. And this one is feels like they're clashing up the joint. They still need a pause button for live pay-per-views. So I don't know what's going on with that. But it's like...
No.
Yeah. It's time to grow up pro wrestling. We've been doing it long enough.
Well, yeah. It is kind of funny. I think the thing that everyone liked that separated it, the whole kayfabe gimmick, like, it probably set them back in years and in fans if they had just acknowledged it and moved along a long time ago.
No, I love the good old days when y'all lied to me. Kayfabe is the dumbest thing possible. It's like, so that's the problem of wrestling. It's built off lies. And it's like,
yeah,
we stop. I'm already in my 40s and I watch pro wrestling. The physics of an Irish whip and a missed drop kick makes no sense to me whatsoever. You cannot explain it. I have accepted that. Don't make me feel dumb accepting your dumbass entertainment. Like, I know the level. I don't watch the Avengers and think it's real. I don't watch Game of Thrones because people, you know, wrestling fake, right? Somebody watches Game of Thrones tell me wrestling fake is real. I'm like, yeah, please tell me the physiology of a dragon. Like, shut up. Like, you know, come on now. So, I already watch wrestling. I've spent thousands of dollars watching wrestling. I've accepted, like, I'm in on the story. You ain't got to try to fool me. So, you should have just stopped. And it's not just Vince dudes, like, you don't need to do that. It's this old gatekeepers, like, duh, but wrestling's missing. When we lied, and grandmas was hitting you with a purse and all that stuff. It's like... They get billions of dollars a year. They ain't missing shit. Like, they enjoy just fine. I'm like, no. I could go on ESPN.com and they talk about pro wrestling like it's and they treat it with respect. They're doing just fine.
Yeah.
AEW's doing their thing. It's, you know, the indies. COVID kind of put a stop to all that. But, like, wrestling is fine. Let it be fine. Nostalgia's stupid. Never forget.
Okie doke. I'm at DeFrango 11. That is at Philly Drugs. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you happen to download this fine podcast, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or I don't know. I always try to at least think of a third one, and I always forget a third one. Whatever. Have a good night, and I will let Shahid officially close this puppy out.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and if your dumb ass is going to WrestleMania, please wear a mask. If you do not hang around me. We are out.